T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Well, Paul, as you can imagine, a lot of calls on the Giants this morning, and so many facets to examine in this situation. And we'll start with the trade of Golden. I mean, he was a guy they brought in late. He led the team in sacks last year. He had some quarterback pressures, had some value. They get a sixth-round pick. Joe Judge has said that this isn't the beginning necessarily of a string of trades, unloading talent for prospects and such. What's your thought?
Well, Marcus Golden, who had a really solid year last year, you know, I really was a big proponent of him, only double-digit sack player in the NFL to also have more than 70 tackles. I mean, I don't know what else the guy could have done, but it was clear this year from the time that he got to training camp that he was not going to be a major player on a consistent basis under this new scheme with this new coaching staff. He was a rotational player who was strictly going to come in and be a pass rusher. They viewed him as a guy, you know, who was only going to be, I don't know, 25-30% of the snaps, if that. You know, they had gone out and signed Kyler Fackrell, who increased their depth at the weak side linebacker position. Because, you know, he had worked with Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator, in Green Bay. I mean, that deal in itself told you that Golden snaps were going to be dramatically reduced. And then, of course, they still had the youngster, you know, Shane Ximenez, who unfortunately at the moment is injured. But, you know, they thought very highly of him. They drafted three rookie linebackers, as a matter of fact, in the spring. So one of the things that I had said when Golden was signed is that don't be shocked if he actually turns out to be trade bait, because at some point during training camp or during the early part of the season, there may be a team that is desperate for a pass rusher, and the Giants will at least have that chip in their pocket and may be able to get something for him. Now, you know, at that point, it was just one of the things that I thought about that could have come up. In fact, it has, and now they've sent him to the Cardinals for a number six.
Was it enough, do you think?
Well, what are you going to get for him right now?
Well,
considering
that's it,
yeah. He's on a one-year contract, right? He's on a tag, so he's going to have to be re-signed after the season, so you don't have economic security with him. He hasn't played a whole lot this year, so his value is not a ton. But look, if he had escaped in the spring as an unrestricted free agent, you would have got nothing for him. But by tagging him and trading him now, at least you got a pick.
Yeah, you got something. So in answer to the question, though, is this the beginning of a flurry, do you think? Or do you think that, you know, there might be one or two? What are your thoughts in terms of coming up on the trade deadline?
Well, again, this is all about what kind of value are you going to get. I like it when, you know, I hear people say, well, let's get creative. Let's see, you know, what you think you might have in your pocket to deal. But at the same time, where's the market value? You know, a lot of people talk about, for example, Evan Engram, right? And I understand that. Now, I'm not talking about his performance. I'm simply saying, what do you think you can get for him on the trade market? Coming off of foot surgery, coming off of a month and a half of erratic performances, what exactly do you think the street value is for a player like that if you decided you wanted to dangle him? I would suspect it's not nearly as much as a lot of people think it is.
Well, you brought him up, and we'll get into some other players too, but it's frustrating because he has been hurt, and he does drop passes in tough situations. I mean, you know, we don't have to recap what he did this week. It was
and he's
critical.
Heavily a receiver as opposed to an all-around player who's also a terrific blocker. So,
yeah.
You know, if you're going to try to find a suitor for him and try to, you know, get some value, it's a limited market in that if that team wants a tight end who's very proficient in blocking, they're probably not going to look at him.
I mean, are these drops correctable? I mean, the interception even was a ball that he could have caught, didn't, and, you know, glanced off him and was intercepted. I mean, we've seen him drop passes. You know, everybody does, but it just seems he does it in critical situations.
Well, over his career, he's had, like, ebbs and flows with the dropsies.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there have been months, periods at a time where he's had significant issues holding on to the ball. Then, like last year, he'll go through, you know, 2 months in a row where he's doing fairly well and you really wouldn't complain about it. It's been a maddening, inconsistent career to this point for an injury-plagued tight end who everybody seems to agree has a terrific skill set and hasn't lived up to it. Look, here's the thing. Remember this. He at least is under economic security because you know you've already got him. You picked up his contract option off his rookie deal. So you know you have him for another year at what is a very reasonable price financially for a tight end who's on pace to catch 60 balls. That's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I mean, Richard, you have to look at this from all the angles.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's just
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody, you know, decides, if there's a suitor out there that decides they're willing to pay, you know, a good value for him, I wouldn't be surprised if he was moved. But I also wouldn't be surprised if the Giants keep him.
Yeah. Well, again, it's what you get. You're absolutely right there. The Post is suggesting that Zeitler, I mean, to me, he's maybe the best offensive lineman you got. He's 30 years old. He's not having a great year, and he is making a decent amount of money. Would there be interest, and would the Giants move him?
Well, the deal with Zeitler, yes. Now it was Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated who was the first one who brought up Zeitler's name a few days ago. And now everybody seems to be jumping on the bandwagon. The idea there is that, yes, he is making a good buck. He is a guy who's got almost a decade of experience. So if you're going to be in a retooling, obviously a player like that falls into the category. So the question again becomes, what will you get for him? The Giants have a few options if they were to move him out of the lineup. They could work in Shane Lemieux, a rookie for Oregon who they drafted this year and have a lot of high hopes for. He was a middle-round draft pick. So you could see that the future may wind up being Lemieux, okay? For the time being, if he wasn't ready, they could move Cam Fleming inside to guard because he has played some guard in his NFL career and then tell Matt Peart, guess what? You're now the new starting right tackle. And then you've got Thomas and Peart on the bookends. You could do that too. So the void created by a deal of Zeitler, if you get a good price, is probably fillable with current guys on the roster. So I would think that probably makes more sense if somebody's willing to pony up something that you believe is worth it.
Okay. Well, trades aside now, let's get down into the nitty-gritty of this game. I mean, they had an 11-point lead with 6 minutes left. And the defense. I mean, yeah, the drop of Engram hurt. You know, the inability to sustain a drive and take time off the clock hurt. But you had two long touchdown drives and marred by stupid penalties. Is it the scheme? Are they playing too loose? Are they playing prevent? Are they just getting beat? I mean, what's going on with that defense in the latter stages of games where they can't get a stop?
Well, we may have talked about this a week or two ago, Richard. I know I've talked about it with the other fellows on the station. The Giants pass rush in the most critical times in the two-minute drills has not gotten home. And that's what happens when you don't have a Batman pass rusher on your team. The Giants are in the middle of the pack in terms of sack percentage and getting to the quarterback this year, which is a dramatic improvement, you know, over the last couple of years. And that's great. That's certainly a step in the right direction. Gettleman and Judge and Patrick Graham, the defensive coordinator, have that arrow going up. But they still don't have that one, I like to call him the Batman pass rusher, that guy who can solve the crime on his own, you know, without anybody help. You know, over the years, the Giants have had guys like Robin, you know, the boy wonder. You know, you need a Batman. A Batman is a guy who is going to absolutely change the course of a game because he's got the threat to get in there and wreck an offense on any given play. And in the final 2 minutes of a half or a game, when you know the other team is going to pass, everybody knows it, you need to have that threat who can just beat his guy or beat a double team if necessary and scare the crap out of that quarterback. The Giants don't have a Batman pass rusher, and that is exactly where it shows up, because a Batman pass rusher can make that one play and that one stop that will short-circuit a 70-yard drive. It's that simple.
But you have to admit, secondary is, I mean, guys are wide open. I mean, it's not a question of, well, the last play, of course, the touchdown, that was a great catch, great throw. I thought the coverage, Pepper's coverage wasn't terrible. He was right there.
But in
so many cases, guys are just in the middle of the field. Nobody's anywhere near them.
Well, often they're playing zone in those spots. And if you don't have the Batman pass rusher, I mean, I would invite you to do this, Richard. I didn't do it, but I think my eyes pretty much tell me the story. You have a Batman pass rusher. Well, guess what? Now the quarterback doesn't have 2.5, 3.5, 3.8 seconds to find that open receiver. And you remember, it always works hand in hand. And if you got a Batman pass rusher, well, maybe those receivers won't have time to be wide open downfield. It's always going to be a hand-in-hand thing, the pass rush with the secondary. And until they get a Batman pass rusher, and we knew they didn't have one this year going into the season, we knew that. So until they get one of those, the two-minute drill is going to continue to be a problem.
Or a shutdown corner, a guy that, you know, is so good that you can afford to send an extra rusher in there and put pressure on the quarterback, not fearing that the best receiver on the other team is going to be wide open because you've got a great corner.
Well, you know the rule of thumb, though. Even the best shutdown corners can't hold up more than 3 seconds. So, I mean, it's great if you have two. They have one. Bradbury's one. He's really, really good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's proven that.
Yeah.
But on the other side, it's been a Rubik's Cube. And that's why they've been forced to play a lot of zone in those situations.
What about the dumb penalties? Now, you know, everybody points coaching. I don't know that that's coaching. I mean, I think Joe Judge emphasizes, hey, don't do stupid things. I like the discipline that he exhibits. But, you know, you saw a couple of times where there was a lack of discipline that really hurt him.
Yeah, there's no doubt that the Giants have had very untimely penalties throughout the season. For most of the year, they were near the list for the fewest penalties in the league for most of the season so far. But it's always been the time factor. When does that penalty show up? When does it happen? And that has been a thorn in this team's side now since the season started. Look, there's no doubt about what Joe Judge is, a disciplinarian, a detail guy, a smart guy. He's got a staff that feels the same way. I think for the most part, his team is that. But part of this goes back to the old Parcells philosophy, the psychology of results Bill used to say all the time. And I've heard it 1,000 times when he was here, and I keep remembering it all the time. Winning breeds winning, losing breeds, you know what. And sometimes it's all about habits. It's about that mentality. It's about the emotions that play into the game. And you're subject, when things are going bad and you're in the quicksand, things like I don't want to say carelessness, because I don't think it's carelessness, but things get a little rough around the edges. They get a little bit ragged, and it happens. Look, until the Giants are able to kind of break out of this cloud and this stigma and really turn the corner, you know, you would suspect that these things are just going to be part of what it is that they are. I mean, look, Parcells was 3-12-1 in his first year. Coughlin was, what, 6-10, I think, in his first year. And then in year two, both guys turned it around and made the playoffs.
Well, there's frustration involved, too, because, you know, when you see things going downhill, you get frustrated, you get emotional, and things like that can happen. So you're right. It does compound on itself. The other frustrating thing, turnovers. I don't say that the interception was Daniel Jones's fault. I thought Engram could have caught it, or at least it didn't have to pop up into the air and be an easy pick. But, you know, again, they probably don't win the game anyway if he doesn't fumble at the end there. But you got to think the clock ticking in his head. Okay, throw it away. All right, there's nothing there. Throw it away. Live to play another down instead of holding it. Hoping desperately that somebody gets open, and before long, somebody gets hit you from behind and the ball's on the ground.
Okay, now, again, you just said it a second ago, how the frustration builds and festers. He's thinking to himself, we're in Philadelphia, got a chance to pull it out, 1-5 team, huge game, got to try to make a play. Got to do it. Got to make a play. Somehow, some way, got to make a play. And what happens every time a quarterback does that? He holds the ball too long, and more often than not, disaster happens. So the problem is the guy's trying to show guts. He's trying to show fortitude. He's trying to pull something out of nothing, and he pays the price for it. When in reality, the truth of the matter is on the play, you know, Eagles are playing prevent. They're only rushing four guys. Giants have five offensive linemen plus Deion Lewis in the backfield. They have six players to block four. If you really want to talk about the core of what happened on that play, talk about the fact that they had six to block four, and Brandon Graham ran right through Fleming at right tackle and Lewis in the backfield. He ran right through a double team. Now, Brandon Graham is good, but is he great? Should he be able to go right through a double team and push them both right out of the way and then smash your blindside hit with a quarter on the quarterback? No, that shouldn't have happened, to be perfectly frank with you. That was the big problem with the play, even more than Jones holding the ball too long.
Well, you do have to give the offensive line credit, I think, in that Gallman had some nice runs there in the second half, and they did open some holes for him. So I don't know whether it's the Giants' offensive line opening holes better or Philly's defense not being as good, but they were able to unleash a bit of the running game there other than Jones.
Well, we knew going in the Eagles were giving up 126 yards a game on the ground. I had said one of the ways the Giants need to attack this team is to run the ball. Try to get that 50-50 balance, maybe even have more rushes than they do passes. That did not happen because they did not get a running game going nearly as effectively as they had to. I mean, it was there just for a small spurt. When after Gallman came in, you know, Freeman had gotten hurt. He had sprained his ankle. Gallman came in. They had a few nice running plays. But for the most part, I mean, outside of the Daniel Jones jaunt, what did they do running the ball? Gallman had four or five nice carries, and Jones had one long run. The rest of the night, the running game was just not there at all against an Eagles team that should have been gashed.
Yeah, and thankfully, you can laugh about Jones tripping over his own feet because they did wind up scoring there. But had they not, I mean, it just seemed to me to be emblematic of the Giants' season. He makes a great play. They're, well, you know, it's right in front of them, and they shoot themselves in the foot. They stumble at the end instead of closing the deal. And it's what we've talked about for the last couple of weeks, learning how to win, learning how to make the big play, or at least not shoot yourself in the foot and make the bad play and wind up losing games that you have great chances to win.
Yeah, he was gassed. I mean, you know, it's funny. We always talk about how dumb it is that they love to time at the combine the 40-yard dash. And it's like, well, do linemen really run 40 yards? Well, do quarterbacks really, as a habit, run 80-yard dashes? I mean, this turned out to be tied for the fourth longest run by a quarterback in NFL history, 80 yards. So only three guys have gone longer than that from the position. Is it any wonder that he ran out of gas? But I will only say this to you, Richard, and just close on this thought. When he went down, the first thing I thought is, oh, my God, he popped his Achilles. Seriously, that's what I thought. I wasn't even thinking about anything else. Maybe some people were laughing. A lot of people were laughing. First thing I said is, oh, my God, he might have popped his Achilles. So I was just thrilled to death when he got up because, you know, you hate to see anybody do that. That's such a major injury, even in today's modern medicine. That's the last thing you want to hear. So that was the first thought that I got. And then the second thought was, uh-oh, they're probably going to have to settle for 3 points. But yeah. That did not happen. They did get the touchdown.
Yeah. And you could tell, I mean, on the TV, the close-ups of his face, you could see he was sucking air there at the end.
No doubt.
Because they don't, you're right, absolutely. They don't do 100-yard dashes. Quarterbacks don't do that. But, you know, I know that people are like, oh, is Daniel Jones the guy? I mean, you're hearing more Trevor Lawrence things on the Jets, and we got into this last week. But I think you've seen enough from Daniel Jones to know that he can be a fine quarterback. You know, the Hall of Fame, well, let's put that in the back burner. But you know, he can be a fine quarterback. Just got to clean up a few things.
Well, Terry Bradshaw just said the other day, you can win a Super Bowl with him. He thinks he's that good. He thinks he's that talented. Mm-hmm. I think Bradshaw knows something about Super Bowls. But I would add this. You know, so the interception goes off of Ingram's fingertips and gets picked. And we just talked about the fumble at the end of the game. What in the game did Daniel Jones do that people did not like? I mean, he had a good game last night. I'm not sure that people truly understand that. Daniel Jones played really well. In fact, he outplayed Carson Wentz, to be perfectly frank with you, if you just look at the quarterback position. Now, what did not happen for the Giants is that their guys did not make plays for him. Wentz had three really sharp passes in the final two drives that his receivers went up and got and made even better plays on the other end of those passes to make terrific catches. And that's something that you and I have been talking about now for quite a long time. The Giants need more guys who will make contested catches and help their quarterback out. It's like the catcher in baseball when he's able to block some of those balls in the dirt and some of those balls that get away. It makes a difference when you have someone on the other end of the play who will make the play. And outside, you know, Tate did a nice job on the touchdown. It's the only contested catch the Giants made all night.
Yep, you're absolutely right. You see it time and time again with other receivers where there's a ball that's, you know, between the receiver and the cornerback, and the receiver just rips it out and takes it and goes from there. And Golden did do that. You're right. Okay, Paul, we got a little bit of a respite before the next game. We'll see if they can get their stuff together and face Tom Brady coming up next Monday night.
You got it, Richard. Good to talk to you.
Okay, Paul DiTino on the Giants.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.